Hi, and welcome back to Girls in Pole Position. I'm your host, Amra, and today we will be discussing the 2022 liveries upon their release, as well as the outcomes of this season's testing and the impacts of the new regulations. To begin with, 2022 has brought many new designs and colour combinations when looking at the bodywork of the cars. For example, Mercedes have noticeably gone back to silver, and McLaren have adopted a light blue detailing. What are your favourite and least favourite liveries and why? Jasmine, let's start with you.
Okay, well, this is probably a controversial choice because I feel like not many people like this one, but my favourite one is the Alpine. I like the one that they're going to be using for the majority of the season, not like the mainly pink one. But I quite like that shade of blue, and I just like that with the mix of the pink. And I feel like it's nice to see a pink car on the grid again. So yeah, that's my personal favourite. And then my least favourite, I'd probably have to say the Haas. Just because I feel like I was expecting more, and yeah, it does not look hugely different to last year's, and I was just expecting better things from them, really.
I mean, to be honest, we don't even know what the Haas is going to look like at this point, because we don't know what's going to happen with their sponsor. But yeah, it's an interesting one with Haas, because obviously we're recording this just after the Barcelona testing. So the car was white last time we saw it. So yeah, but I agree with Jasmine that even the livery that they ran for the first 2 days of testing just wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think my personal favourite is, I'm loving the Mercedes at the minute, to be fair, that they've gone back to silver. I do like the Aston Martin. I do think that just looks really slick and quite modern and professional in a way. I don't know how to describe it really, but yeah, I think Haas is probably my least favourite, just because like nothing's really changed from last season as well. So yeah, Gemma, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you that the Aston Martin is stunning, but I have to disagree with Jasmine that I don't like the Alpine that much. I think blue and pink obviously are two colours that can either work really well together or not. And I had really high hopes, but I kind of feel like with the Alpine, it feels a bit like it's just like the car from last year, just with the pink like stuck on. And I'm not sure they implemented the pink as well as they could have done. I think they could have maybe done something a bit more to make it a bit more integrated. But having said that, I actually do really like the full pink one. And I think it's just my Racing Point nostalgia talking, because I miss having like the Racing Point car on the grid. No matter how much I love the Aston Martin, I would love to have both on the grid. And that pink Alpine just makes me feel very nostalgic for the Racing Point. So I do really like the full pink one. Apart from that, McLaren, I think the lighter blue works a lot better, but I do think that there's certain elements of it that are a bit hard to read, like the number on the front of the car being in the light blue. I think that's a bit difficult to read in certain photos and lighting. Mercedes, again, love to see them back to silver. I do think they could have done something like their 2019, I think it was, car, where they had a bit of a black gradient at the back fading into silver. I think that could have been a nice kind of mixture of the two. But, you know, I can't complain. I think the car looks great anyway. I'm trying to think of other teams. I think the Alfa Romeo, I've always loved Alfa Romeo's liveries, but this one is a step up, because I thought last year's was great, but looking back, they could have done a lot more with the nose of the car, whereas this time they've really thought about everything, you can tell. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the Alfa Romeo as well. The Ferrari is also a big step up from last year. Anyone who knows me will know I really didn't like the Ferrari car last year. I thought the gradient was awful from the back. It didn't blend well at all. I think this one's a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm undecided about the McLaren. I don't know how I feel about the light blue personally. I do think that the Ferrari does look like the Aston Martin. I feel the same way about it. It would have been nice to see Red Bull do something different. That leads me on to my next question. Do you prefer modern or classic? So like Red Bull is practically the same. Mercedes have gone back to the traditional silver arrow style. And then, as you said, Aston Martin have ditched the pink with Racing Point because BWT moved to Alpine. Do you like when teams sort of stick to their traditional style, or do you think it's good for them to switch it up?
I think it's good to kind of switch it up a bit, and I do quite like the newer modern styles. I think it looks really sleek and professional, and yeah, I don't know, I just feel like it's good to have a difference sometimes. Although with Mercedes going back to silver, that's kind of an iconic thing with them, so I feel like sometimes it's good to go back to classic, but generally I do prefer modern.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do prefer modern as well. Gemma, what do you think?
I'm going to be the one to disagree. I I'm going to use Williams as an example here. I think the Williams change their livery too often. It's every single year, it's something completely different. And even though I don't really dislike their livery this year, I wasn't sure on it first, but it has grown on me. I don't hate it, but I just think every year it's so different. And in the past 5 years, it's not looked the same once. And I think when a team keeps the same livery for a while, or a similar livery, like for example McLaren using the papaya, it does just become iconic, and you see the car and you're like, I know what car that is, and you just like associate the team with those colors, and it just gives them a really like strong branding. But with Williams, I feel like they've lost that a bit, and they don't really have a distinct look on the grid. Like, they're just kind of a blue car this year. They don't have like a color scheme that they keep to every year. They're just a bit lost, I think. And I think, you know, if they do stick with this kind of style for the next few years, I think that will help them in terms of keeping their branding quite consistent. But I do really like it when they keep the same livery. Like, you see a Red Bull, or you see a car that's navy with red and yellow on it, and you just know it's a Red Bull, and I really like that aspect of it. So I do like it when they keep to the traditional, but it's nice to see teams like using their traditional kind of color scheme or template and making changes to it and adapting it and refreshing it, like the McLaren, you know, changing the shade of blue. It's still orange, you still know it's a McLaren, it's still iconic, it's still very them, but they're, you know, making it more modern and pushing it forward a bit. So yeah, I think it's nice to see teams trying new things, but then when they try new things every single year, I think it loses a touch of their kind of branding on the grid.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It is nice to see them keep elements from before, so you know who it is when they're driving past, especially at the speeds they drive past if you're there in person. Aside from the paint jobs, the actual shapes of the cars are looking very different. So I saw that the side pods, the Ferrari, Red Bull and Mercedes, are all very different. Are you excited to see how the such vast differences in the cars are going to bring a new style of racing on track with the new regulations and everything? Because with the cars being so different, surely all of their performances are going to be so different to one another. Jasmine, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it definitely will be interesting to see how this changes things up, and whether like overtaking will be more frequent or if it will be harder, and just like the speed as well. And yeah, and just like how the cars sort of race against each other, like side by side racing and that kind of thing, and how that changes. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to see like what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree, because especially the cars just seem so different to one another compared to regulations in previous seasons. So it's interesting to see how the teams have taken new regulations and adapted them in such different ways. But Gemma, do you think we should focus on the cars themselves, or should we turn our attention to the actual driver's abilities more than the actual car?
I mean, at the moment, testing pretty much means nothing once the season starts. I feel like nothing really carries over from testing into the proper season. You've got, you know, teams making developments between now and the start of the season. So I think looking at how the cars performed in testing, it's really hard to look at that. And it's a lot easier to look at the drivers, because we know the driver's ability from previous years, whereas with the car, it could be completely different by the time the season starts. So I think at the moment, it's easier to look at drivers' abilities. With the cars, they were all very different, even in terms of like different to the renders that were released when the liveries were released. But yeah, I think with Red Bull, their side pods were the ones that interested me the most. Adrian Newey always seems to know what he's doing. So I feel like even though they are very different to the rest of the grid, I feel like Adrian Newey knows his stuff, and he will know something that the other teams don't, and he will have realised something. And I think that will be a big advantage to Red Bull, because I trust in Adrian Newey's design. Pretty much every team that he has designed a car for has won championships during his time being there. So he knows his stuff. But yeah, I think at the moment, just because there's so many changes that will still be made, and testing, they don't push themselves to their full abilities. So it's really difficult to know whether the car's abilities will actually be the same once the season starts. So I think it's much easier, especially at this point in time, to be focusing on the drivers, because we know what they're like based on the previous years. We know their ability. We know how good they are.
Yeah, definitely. And seeing how different drivers performed in testing, like it was more than just Hamilton and Verstappen coming out on top in testing. I thought that was quite a nice way to see the younger drivers sort of showing their abilities in testing, even though, as we said, it might not mean a lot. Jasmine, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I do think we should focus on the drivers' abilities themselves, because they're, at the end of the day, they're the ones that kind of have control of the car, and they're the ones with the skill and the talent, and they're the ones that win the trophy at the end of the day. But obviously the car itself does make a huge difference on what they are able to do with the car itself. And yeah, in testing, it was definitely, well, it was quite nice to see George Russell up there and like near the top, because it's good to see that he's taking to the Mercedes well. But I don't know, I feel like you kind of have to look at both, really, because if a driver's got a crap car, there's really not a lot they can do with it. But then I suppose a talented driver would still be able to use the car to the best of its abilities. So yeah, I think you've got to take a look at both.
Yeah, it's definitely important to look at both side by side and not just focus on one or the other, because obviously engineers could mess up the car, which makes the driver, like, it's impossible for them to drive it. Or if the driver just doesn't have the ability, they can't maximize the car to their full potential. So following on from this, in terms of the new regulations, these have been put in place to bring the midfield closer to the top teams, reduce the impact of dirty air, and bring a cost cap to make racing fairer. What are your thoughts on these? Do you think that these regulations are necessary, or will it be of detriment to the teams at the top currently? And does the fact that testing still ended up with Mercedes and Red Bull dominating the top four make the regulations worthless?
It's a really difficult one, because I definitely think that Mercedes and Red Bull, Mercedes especially, are still going to be at the front. And I don't think anything's going to stop that. But I do think the gap between Mercedes and Red Bull and Ferrari and McLaren is going to be a lot smaller. I think especially Ferrari, based on their testing, they're going to be able to challenge for wins, podiums. I think the gap between the top four teams, say Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, I think that gap is going to be a lot smaller to bring kind of the top of the midfield closer to the two front runners of last year. So yeah, I think it's necessary. I think the new regulations are hopefully going to do that. I think it will make racing fairer, and I just think it will make racing more interesting if there are more teams able to challenge for those wins and those podiums. I do think that some of the teams that are currently at the back of the midfield won't be getting anywhere near the front runners, but I think it's going to do good to bring kind of the midfield closer up, and it will be nice to see some of the midfield teams actually being able to challenge the top ones.
I definitely agree. It would be nice to see not just Mercedes and Red Bull at the front all the time. It'd be nice. I'm glad to see that hopefully Ferrari be back up there, being as they're such a big brand and team in the sport. But yeah, I do think they won't really affect teams like Haas and even Alfa Romeo and things, because in testing, it just showed that they were still significantly slower than the teams at the top. So I do think the midfield, it will benefit them, but the lower teams, that I don't think it will just do any good for them, to be fair.
I think it's a good thing to do this, because it'll reduce the impact of dirty air. And in terms of putting a cost cap, I think that's quite good, because it kind of reduces the elitism aspect of the sport. Obviously the teams with the most money are the ones that are going to do the best, so having a cost cap, I think that is going to make it fair, and it's going to make the midfield teams, I guess, yeah, closer to the top, but like closer with each other as well. I think you're right in terms of with the like bottom teams. I'm not sure how much it will affect them. Maybe it might bring them a bit closer to the midfield, but I guess we can't really know for sure until we actually watch the new season. So I guess we'll have to see then.
Yeah, exactly. It is nice as well. I agree that the cost cap has been put in place, because the sport can be so elitist, with Mercedes and Red Bull having so many sponsors and Haas at the bottom, like struggling to scrape by, especially in new events where they probably just won't have a sponsor and people don't know if they'll make it to the end of the season. So hopefully it will make the teams and their team principals, the teams at the bottom, more secure, I guess. It'll make them less anxious when it comes to funding. In terms of testing did bring some interesting outcomes, and there were 7 red flags, and cars such as Alonso's even been close to being on fire at some points. Does this raise your excitement for the season coming ahead with such dramatic testing, or do you think it could be a risky season as the cars are yet to still adapt to the new regulations and maybe teams don't know how to adapt the cars very well? Gemma, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, speaking of Alonso, the Renault engine has never been the most reliable in the world. And I know this year they've said that they're focusing more on performance than reliability. So I don't know if the Renault engine is going to be a bit temperamental. I mean, it always is to some extent, but even more so if they are focusing on performance more. I think it could be great sometimes, but I think there's going to be a lot of DNFs for Alpine, to be honest with you, if they're not focusing on reliability, which, to be honest, Renault never really have. So that doesn't surprise me. But I do think it's going to be a really exciting season. I mean, it's always a bit interesting when there's new regulations, because some teams adapt really well and some don't. I mean, we saw Red Bull go from a top team winning championships to really struggling with adapting to the new regulations last time around, after Sebastian Vettel's 4th world championship. So I mean, it shows that it can really shake things up. So I do think it's going to be really interesting to see how the teams adapt. I think it really could go either way for a lot of teams. I think for Ferrari with their new power unit, it seems to be going really well. For other teams, maybe not so much. I think reliability might be a bit of a problem for a lot of them.
Yeah, definitely. It's just you won't know how it's going to go until you can't assess it until a few races into the season, I guess, because as we've said before, testing is somewhat meaningless at this point if they're going to change the car so much anyway, and especially seeing like they'll assess what other teams have done in testing to see how they can sort of sneakily make their car better and similar to theirs. Jasmine, what do you think?
Yeah, I do think this season is maybe going to be more risky, because I think it's going to take a while for teams and drivers to adapt to the new cars, and it's going to take them a while to figure out where they can push their limits on them and sort of where they can go faster and where they can't. And obviously different cars respond in different ways. So I think it's just going to be a huge change in general that might involve in some accidents, but hopefully nothing too serious. And it has made me excited in a way, because it will make it more dramatic, obviously, as long as there are enough safety regulations in place. But yeah, I am excited.
Yeah, I can imagine the next Drive to Survive season will be very dramatic with these in place. Yeah, and I'm excited to see more sort of gripping racing on track, because it obviously has been exciting and interesting in the past, but with this season no one knows what to expect really, so I'm guessing that it will draw in a lot more new fans as well, who probably know from all of the press and media surrounding the sport that this season's going to be different to any before, to be honest. So on this note, Mercedes ran 392 laps in testing, with Hamilton achieving their fastest lap, and Red Bull weren't far behind with 358 laps, and Perez's lap of 1:19.556. Yet Haas and Alfa Romeo seem to be the ones struggling with car issues. So it seems that not much has changed, as we've discussed. Do you think it's fair to brace predictions for the season on testing? And do you think drivers should come under so much scrutiny for their performances in testing? Do you think it should be done privately, especially when drivers must be anxious enough when already dealing with brand new cars that they've not had to deal with before? Jasmine, what do you think?
Well, in terms of whether it's fair to judge it on testing, at the moment, that's all we kind of have. We can't really use past performance because the cars are so different, so you just don't know. So I feel like, to some extent, it's fair to base predictions on testing, because that's all we have to go on. We have no other information to use for our predictions. But obviously, we have to take it with a pinch of salt, because the cars will change again and the drivers will get used to the cars. So I feel like you have to kind of watch the first few races to be like, okay, this is what I think is actually going to happen by the end of the season. But at the moment, I think that's all we've got to go off on. So that's fair. And whether testing should be done in private, I don't know, it's hard to say, because as a fan it's quite interesting to see the results of that and see what drivers are coming out on top so far, who's getting the most laps, who's getting the fastest lap, and it's interesting to see that Perez is the one that's behind Hamilton and not Verstappen himself. So I feel like that's quite good and entertaining as a fan. And I feel like the drivers are kind of used to the pressure. Like, this whole sport is very pressurized in itself. So I feel like they're kind of used to dealing with that. And if they're not, then maybe they're not in the right career. I don't know if that's too harsh.
No, I get what you mean. I think with the pressure, the drivers definitely are probably used to it by now, especially adding Netflix on top of all of that recently. That's probably made them even more exposed to the pressure and more used to it. I did find Perez being behind Hamilton interesting rather than Verstappen. But yeah, I think I'm hoping that more will change throughout the season and testing isn't just showing that it's them at the top and the obvious teams that are going to be at the bottom at the bottom. But hopefully it means that the midfield is closer together, because looking at the times, it did seem that they were very, very tightly packed together. So yeah, that will be interesting to see if that carries over into the season. Gemma, what are your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts are very, very similar to Jasmine's. I was pretty much going to say most of the things you said. So yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add, but I do completely agree that if they can't handle the pressure by now, I mean, obviously for rookies, it might be slightly different. But if, you know, the ones who've been in the sport for a good few years now, which is most of them, because there's not many rookies at all this year. There's only Guanyu Zhou. So, yeah, I think if they can't handle the pressure by now, then what have they been doing for the past few years? And I think all we can do is base it on testing. That's all we've got right now. And obviously, when the next lot of testing happens in Bahrain in a week, we can assess it based on that as well. But yeah. For now, what else are we supposed to go off? I think it's important not to delve too much into testing and to believe too much from it and think that, you know, how it's been in testing is going to be the way it's going to be in the race. But obviously you can look at testing and kind of see what's going on while keeping an open mind that it's not fixed or set in stone. Alfa Romeo seem to be really struggling with reliability, so I hope they get that sorted. And Haas, I'm not surprised that they were struggling, to be honest. I think they had such a dramatic testing period. I'm surprised they made it out on track on that final day. I mean, they didn't for long because they had reliability issues as well. But I mean, yeah, they've had a lot going on recently with potentially losing their title sponsor. I don't think we've heard any official confirmation on that yet. But yeah, it's been a stressful situation, obviously, when they're relying on all pretty much most of their money from Russia, which is not an ideal place to be in as a team right now, given what's going on in the world. So yeah, I think they've just had a very, very stressful few weeks. I think Haas have just had a stressful time in general. They've had such bad luck with sponsors, first the Rich Energy thing, and now this. I think, yeah, they've not had an easy ride, but I think reliability was the reason that Haas and Alfa Romeo were so low down. But yeah, based on testing, I think we can make a few loose predictions, but I think it's hard to make any kind of predictions that are based too much in evidence. But I mean, we can predict. I think it's fun to make predictions and see kind of what you think is going to happen. But yeah, I think you have to keep an open mind that any predictions that you do make might not actually happen.
Yeah, definitely. Keeping open mind is key at this point, especially when the next lot of testing is so soon. And it'll be interesting to compare Barcelona testing to Bahrain testing. So that was our rundown on the regulations and Barcelona testing and the liveries. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We have two more special episodes out too, so you can listen to them on all streaming services and the URM website. We'll be back very soon with new F1 content in the new season when the races begin. Follow us on Instagram @girlsinpoleposition. Bye for now.